You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to the Civic Media Spotlight. To kick us off, we have the Todd Alba Show. Todd and Aaron recap Bob Uecker's celebration of life that was held at AmFam Field on Sunday, and it was an incredibly touching memorial event featuring lots of video highlights created by friends of the show, Kelly Call and Sean Hannish, producer and producer/director of Just a Bit Outside. Tune in.
Baseball was the only way I wanted to go. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 7 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, August 25th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison above State Street. Partly cloudy skies, beautiful fall weather, and Aaron Zommers, what a cold open, courtesy of our friends Kelly Call and Sean Hannish, the producer and director, respectively, of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. That is just part. We opened the show today with just a part of Kelly and Sean's work that really made the entire afternoon yesterday at AmFam Field something special, whether you were there in person, like our own Dan Schaefer I know was there, or whether like me watching it on FanDuel and listening to it on the Brewers Radio Network. Hats off to Kelly Call and Sean Hannish for their great work doing all the video and audio tributes for Bob Uecker's celebration of life yesterday at AmFam Field. It was really amazing.
Yeah, I remember when they talked about getting the opportunity to make this and share this story and celebrate Bob Uecker's life. I'm glad that we all got to share in that celebration because it was something special.
Yeah, they talked a little bit off the air with us after they were here last time. And to Zommer's point, they knew the importance of this. They knew the gravity of it. They were humbled to have been asked, and they were taking it very, very seriously. And if you watched yesterday or listened, you know they, you know, I'll use the metaphor, in my opinion, they hit it out of the park with, they hit the exact right tone. And what Kelly and Sean did, and along with the Brewers, of course, and the Uecker family, is they had this special tribute yesterday at AmFam Field before the game that went much longer, by the way, than it was scheduled to go. And they set it up just outside or just in front of the Brewers dugout. They set up a staging area, and they kind of mimicked the old Johnny Carson Tonight Show set with a desk in which the great broadcaster Bob Costas was there in person. Of course, he worked a lot of television baseball over the years with Bob Uecker, knew him very well. So Costas was there as the host MC, and then seated to Costas's right in kind of the old couch style, but everybody was in chairs. You had Brian Anderson, the great sportscaster in and of himself, of course, doing a lot of the play-by-play on FanDuel for the Brewers. He was there along with former owner of the Brewers and baseball commissioner emeritus Bud Selig, current Milwaukee Brewers main owner Mark Atanasio was on the stage as well, along with current player Christian Yelich, who I think arguably was one of the closest current players to Bob Uecker in terms of a friendship and a mentorship. And you also had the great Robin Yount, Hall of Famer, on the stage, along with Hall of Famer Ted Simmons. Of course, Yount and Simmons were in just a bit outside talking about their own run to the World Series in 1982. Did I leave anybody else, Amers, on the dais there? George Brett from the great Hall of Famer from the Kansas City Royals, who came up and was in town and had known Uecker as well. So what they did is Costas had all these guys on the stage, and then they we knew that Kelly and Sean were working on this. They chopped up Uecker's career life, and they'll hear first base and he'll play in baseball with the Braves and then St. Louis. And then second base and third base, and then a rounding home as a Brewers broadcaster. And they had 5 to 10 minute video montages that told the story in cinematic form. Much of Uecker's own words were takes that were not used in Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers. We know from interviewing and talking with Sean and Kelly that they were, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Zomers, but I think they were told they were going to get either 45 minutes or an hour with Uecker, because we, as the general public, didn't know it. But at the time, Uecker was already undergoing cancer treatments for lung cancer. So they were trying to be judicious with his time. And whatever the time frame was that Sean and Kelly were told they were going to get with Uecker, they got to that point, and Euchre's like, well, why are we stopping? This is fun. Let's keep going.
Right.
And they got like another 20 minutes or a half an hour with him, I think.
Yeah. And in one of their stories of rounding the bases of his life, they told a similar story that somebody else had where they were only supposed to interview with him for like 30 minutes and ended up, or no, that wasn't part of their video. It was one of the other speakers who said they ended up chatting with him for 3 or 4 hours or something.
Yeah. Just going to dinner when he went, dinner with Euchre's. I mean, Euchre, you gotta block off like three to four hours. So it was really amazing. Unfortunately, the Brewers could not come up with a win. I think Murph said after the game, Pat Murphy, the Brewers manager, you know, I can't believe the baseball gods didn't let us get a win today. But the Brewers came up a little short. But before I forget this, on the other side of the field, the San Francisco Giants were the opponent in town. Former Milwaukee Brewer, who ended up with the Giants in the offseason, Willy Adames was there. And I would want to shout out Willy Adames as an absolute class act this weekend. He used to wear one of the one arm a yellow sleeve, and he had like blue and yellow cleats. He brought those back, even though he had his San Francisco Giants uniform on. He was wearing the yellow cleat or the yellow blue cleats or the yellow sleeve, and he stood there on the top of the Giants dugout yesterday for the entirety of the hour and a half tribute to Uecker yesterday and soaked it all in. And he could not have been more complimentary of the Brewers and to Uecker. And I thought, wow, there's a guy, Willy Adames, who's just a class act. So shout out to him as well. Shout out to everybody who is involved with this tribute. The Uecker family putting out a statement this morning saying how much it meant to them. The place, according to our own Dan Schaefer and Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter guys who were there, that nearly every, the thing was a sellout, been a sellout for, you know, so 41,000 plus. And everybody was in their seats practically an hour before the game started. So they got there early. I guess traffic was a nightmare because everybody wanted to get there on time and get there early. Everybody understood the assignment. And somebody tweeted out, you know, here I am like 20 minutes before the game starts. There's nobody at the concession stand. I mean, you could walk right up and get a beer or whatever. Because everybody wanted to be in that space. And in a time where we are too often in our phones, in our devices, and do not share a communal experience, that's about as close as we're going to get these days.
Absolutely. And if you want to join in on that communal experience and catch in, the entire ceremony is available to watch on YouTube. The MLB YouTube channel themselves posted it, so this is no piracy or anything. Right. This is officially the whole hour and 2 minute ceremony. If you just look up on YouTube, Uecker Celebration of Life, it'll come up, and I'm also linking it in the show notes.
Thanks. Appreciate that, Zomer. So if you missed it yesterday, if you don't subscribe to FanDuel to watch the games, you can catch Kelly and Sean's great work in putting together these video montages of Bob Uecker's life. And of course, you know, it's a good time to remind people that if you haven't seen Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, you can do it today for free on the Roku channel yet, Or you can pay if you, or if you subscribe to Apple TV or Amazon Prime, it's on there as well. So check out the movie and see more of their great work. More of these interviews with Bob Uecker, or as Zomer said, it's on, you said, the Major League Baseball YouTube channel.
Yes,
the entire tribute yesterday from all the people there at AmFam Field. I want to play one more. This is a shorter one of Kelly and Sean's work on this. And this played kind of before the whole thing started. And it focuses on radio. And it's a guy who started in radio engineering broadcast, Brewers broadcast with Uecker. This meant a lot to me. Here is the Uecker radio tribute from yesterday.
Gellett sends one to right center and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here and gone for Gellett!
To me, Bob Uecker just symbolizes the joy of summer.
Sitting on our front porch and bringing up the little transistor radio and dialing up the old AM station.
83 beautiful degrees at game time tonight. Here it is, strike called, and we are underway.
Cooking out, brought some hamburgers with family and friends, just always on in the background, and became a familiar part of the family.
Swing of the liner, base hit, come up, and there it is!
Summers, out fishing, and there's my dad, and there's Bob on the radio calling the game.
Hey, struck him out!
His little side stories that he would go on, that's where the magic was.
If you didn't enjoy baseball, then you didn't like sliced bread either.
Brewers head for Arizona on their up-and-coming trip. Out there, you can hold a hot dog out your car window and cook it.
Can't hit a curveball with four baseball bats and a tennis racket, too.
All you gotta do is turn the dial, and Uecker was always there. Through the radio, I felt like I was literally there. Through the emotion, the passion, excitement in the call.
We're going to smash up the middle. Base hit the center. Here Gomez. A throw and the Brewers win. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for being Brewer fans. And we'll get together again.
The late, great Bob Uecker. The video compilation put together by Kelly Call and Sean Hanisch, the producers and director of Just a Bit Outside. Great work, guys. Again, just really, really was emotional listening in and watching yesterday. Really, really impactful. They did Bob Uecker well, did him great. And the fans, I think everybody there had nothing but great things to say as well. What's your favorite memory of Bob Uecker? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's your favorite memory of Uke? Want to take your calls and share a little bit here on the air. Our ongoing contributor and friend Jeff Perry on Facebook saying, thanks for playing the montage, Todd. I'm tearing up a little bit. Well, you and me both, Jeff. I mean, that was yesterday, just watching this and hearing it. It was goosebumps. It was hair on my arms. It was lump in the throat, teary-eyed, and also laughing. Also a lot of laughing as well. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's your favorite memory of Bob Uecker as we talk about this great ceremony, Remembrance of Life at AmFam Field yesterday? Going to talk politics at the bottom of the hour as well. Tom Kircher is here with Wisconsin Watch. He's going to be in talking about a threesome. Well, at least it involves three counties. Really intriguing, interesting story, and also some news briefs from Wisconsin Watch, so come on back for that. And what was the most underrated part about Bob Uecker's career? Well, Bob Costas tells us on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It may surprise you. The greatest part of Bob Uecker's career, according to Bob Costas, is the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes is joined by Randy Ratke, president of North Central Wisconsin Labor Council, for a quick conversation ahead of the long Labor Day weekend.
I used to fool around. Good morning once again, everyone. The time is 8:23. We are live from our downtown Wausau studios of 98.9 WXCO at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. It is a beautiful start. I mean, it is just gorgeous out there.
Oh, yeah.
Almost exactly the same as yesterday. I think basically the temperature, I think, is exactly the same as it was 24 hours ago. It's still sunny. It's really just a perfect, I think, day. I love temperatures in the upper 60s, around 70. That's what we will get. Right now, it's 51 degrees here in downtown Wausau, and it looks like we are heading towards a terrific Labor Day weekend. In fact, heard Brittany Merlot in the last segment talking about Labor Day weekend looking perfect. We're going to get a lot of sunshine, very moderate temperatures right through Labor Day Monday. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to join me and join Randy Ratke. And I know that Ian Welsh will be marching in it as well, the Wausau Labor Day Parade. And again, the Wausau Labor Day Parade has a new route starting at Marathon Park, going to the Wausau Labor Temple. And you can make sure to check out the information on that so you get the right spot to watch the parade on Monday. That begins at 4 p.m. The lineup starts at 3. Again, this year I'll be the announcer, and I know, Ian, you're going to be marching in it. Well, who are you marching with?
I'm marching with the Center Stage Band and Show Choir of Wausau, promoting our upcoming show that we'll be having towards the end of September. It's going to be an absolutely free show happening at the Grand Theater, and this year's theme is hits from across the Atlantic.
All right, very good. So, like British Invasion kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Very good. So, well, that's something definitely to look forward to. But even before that, Monday afternoon, again, the Wausau Labor Day Parade with the North Central Wisconsin Labor Council. And again, if you missed our discussion with Randy Ratke earlier today, and you missed what we heard on the air, plus even more information by going to youtube.com, 98.9 WXCO channel, find our recorded interview, and you can be able to watch it and see it and learn even more about what's going on in labor. And also, we talked about some of the issues going on at the Marathon County Board level, where he is also a member of that body. So again, our full discussion, unedited discussion with Randy Ratke at youtube.com and the 98.9 WXCO channel. Also coming up tomorrow here on the program, we are going to be talking to Christine Martins, and I think Christine will be bringing in somebody else as well, but she is from Friends of Wausau Historic Landmarks, and it is the second year that Friends of Wausau Historic Landmarks are doing a motor coach tour throughout Marathon County, and actually even outside the county. Actually, no, it's all within Marathon County. Ringgold, Hatley, Elderon, Bevent, Mosinee. It is called the Tour de Marathon County. Sort of like the Tour de Marathon County.
Nice.
The Friends of Wausau Historic Landmarks will be working with local historians and residents in several of the communities throughout North Central Wisconsin, Marathon County, and really interesting stuff. So we will have Christine Martins and perhaps others from Friends of Wausau Historic Landmarks joining us tomorrow morning to talk about the Tour de Marathon County, starting at 6:52 a.m. during the WXCO Morning Report here on 98.9 WXCO. And also talk about a little bit about the legacy of Gary Gisselman with that organization, yeah. The longtime Central Wisconsin leader in so many different areas. And part of his leadership was with the Friends of Wausau Historic Landmarks. So we'll talk about Gary Gisselman as well as part of our discussion tomorrow morning here on the program. And don't forget as well, if you miss any of our WXCO Morning Report segments, we do put them out as a podcast each and every day. We put them together as one 30-minute podcast with all the segments put together. And you can subscribe to be to it on Spotify and Google, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And also, you can get it as on our podcast page at WXCO.FM. If you go to shows, that will connect you to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, where all of the Civic Media programming is available as a podcast as well.
Yes,
so just search WXCO News. WXCO News. All right, time for our number for the day quiz.
Yes.
You're 0 for 1 this week. Your number for the day quiz topic is the oldest person in the world.
Oldest person in the world. Okay.
The oldest person alive right now is Ethel Caterham, a British woman born on August the 21st of 1909. She is 116 years and 5 days old. She just had her birthday. But the number for the day is, how many days old is the oldest person in the world?
How many
days old is this person?
How many days?
All right.
Okay.
So your choices are. Days old. And actually, the reason I brought this up is because I'm coming up on a big number for my days old. And I'm going to talk about that next week. I was looking over the weekend at some kind of interesting figures about when I was born. And it gave me the number of days I'm old. And it's like a milestone number is coming next week, which we'll talk about. But 32,373, 42,373, 52,373 days old.
Now, I'm going to say 42,000. I'm going to go with the middle number of my final answer.
All right.
A little over 42,000.
The oldest person alive is 42,373 days old.
Nice. I'm one for one right now.
That's a lot of days.
Yeah.
Happy birthday
to her.
Well, have a good rest of this beautiful Tuesday.
You too, Jed.
And we will be back tomorrow morning starting at 6:52 for our local segments here on 98.9 WXCO.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. John Shelton, who's the president of AFT Wisconsin, talks about a growing group of educators and labor leaders who have co-signed a letter about the qualities they want to see in Wisconsin's next governor. Pro-worker, pro-labor, pro-education, and willing to fight for the values of the majority against a legislator that doesn't necessarily reflect those values.
The Milwaukee Brewers are back in action tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks after winning yesterday 7-5. Coverage begins this evening with the pregame at 6:05 on several Civic Media stations around the network. A reminder as well, here at Up North News, you can sign up for our Sunday morning newsletter about Wisconsin politics, other political stories. And this week we ask whether Wisconsin should keep or get rid of mail-in voting after President Trump made comments about wanting to get rid of mail-in voting because Vladimir Putin told them that, you know, they didn't make for fair elections. A lot of our respondents so far disagree with that. Surprise, surprise. But what do you think as well? To see our question of the week first, sign up for that newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. We're going to be talking in just a sec to Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association and Gene Bond, who has one of the event barns that are impacted by legislation that could affect certain farm businesses around the state. But as always, we start with our friend Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer from up in Lincoln County near Merrill. And Hans, good morning. I was just hearing Pam Yonke on the Midwest Farm Report talk about, you know, harvesting already taking place, that corn for silage was 2% harvested already. But I also just heard Brittany Merlot say temperatures are in the 30s up in your neck of the woods. So how are things overall?
Cold. They're cold up here up in my neck of the woods. You guys were talking about hoodies earlier, and my daughter walked in and was underdressed as usual. And so I loaned her my hoodie because she had to go outside and deal with her horse and so forth. So yeah, it's cool. It's like 39 degrees up here this morning.
Yeah, and we're both without our hoodies because we had youths who needed those instead. So
yeah,
all right, that's fine. Old Parker.
I came prepared. I've got my hoodie.
That's true. Parker does have a hoodie on there. But things are good up otherwise by you in terms of field work.
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we're going to start mowing fourth crop of our regular hay stands today, and the second crop of the new seeding. Today as well. So we've got this will be likely the last hay crop that we make. And then, yeah, corn silage harvest for us will probably begin in maybe 2 weeks, depending on what the weather does.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Third cutting for hay is 89% complete around the state, according to the new ag figures. And fourth cutting is 31% complete so far. And not everybody, depending on the season, necessarily gets four cuttings throughout the season, do they?
Yeah, no, though, for sure. And it, again, it depends on the weather. But if we can get started early enough in spring with first crop, which is to say getting that first cutting done in the last week of May or the first week of June, that sort of sets us up for success. Mm-hmm. And there are some hay meadows that are questionable whether they really paid to cut or not. But most of them look halfway decent. We should get a halfway decent crop, and it should be decent quality as well.
Sounds good. And we've talked before about, you know, farmers being able to diversify their businesses for things like tourism and events. And that's where we bring in Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. Jean Bond is here as well. She has Farm View Event Barn in Berlin. Sheila, Jean, good morning to both of you as well.
Morning.
Good morning.
Sheila, let's pick up where we've spoken before about the overhaul in Wisconsin's liquor laws, Act 73 from a year or two ago, and it had a dreadful impact on basically event barns in the way that it restricted the number of events they could do without having to go through all the hoops for a liquor license. And there's been this talk of having so-called trailer bills, follow-up bills that would address this inequity. But Sheila, is there any progress to report on that so far?
I'd like to report that the citizens and voters are really reaching out to their elected officials. The constituents have sent 698 letters forward to Madison saying, hey, elected official, we want you to correct this injustice of Act 73. You know, we're moving into Labor Day, and we want to talk about economic liberty and the opportunity to earn a living. We want to talk about diversification for family farms. And this Act 73 really just strangles a working farm that is seasonally temporary permitted, that is not interested in having a liquor license. They are interested in renting space. So we want to talk about this with our elected officials, not only the impact on the farmer, but the impact on the consumer and what Act 73, how the impact is on the taxpayer. Okay. I think a lot of people don't understand that Act 73 created a whole nother division and office at the Department of Revenue that is going to be specifically for alcohol enforcement. And it's going to cost the taxpayer additional money.
Well, let's get Jean's perspective on this. Jean Bond, you've got FarmView Event Barn. And so you can talk a bit personally about what the change in the law through Act 73 has done to you and others, right?
Yeah, especially now this year, consumers are becoming more aware of this. So typically by this time of year, I am just about fully booked for the following year. Weddings, venues are usually the first thing a couple books because they go quickly. So right now I just struggled to get my sixth allowed with alcohol consumption. So I'm booked, but that's again six a year, which is only 30% of what I typically would book. So that's my revenue gone. I'm also finding a lot of consumers who even at that are unwilling to be restricted to what they can serve their guests at their own private party because this law prohibits them from serving any spirits. They can only have beer and wine. People don't like being controlled like that. And they're finding too that it's going to cost them a lot more money when they have to go to a place for their private party, but go to a public place that sells alcohol and the additional costs that cost them for that part of their celebration. It's very much more expensive than if you go legally purchase it yourself at a Costco or something and serve it to your guests. So it's hurting. My vendors are just now realizing it's going to hurt them. The DJs, the caterers, the florists, the bakers, all of them are now realizing if I don't have weddings and the other two venues in my county aren't having one every week, that's going to cut into my bottom line.
Yeah. So, as you mentioned, you're limited to six events a year, and you have a column that you wrote online that says a simple change from six to 36 events would benefit Wisconsinites. This would basically cost the state nothing other than bringing in more tax revenue, help farms stay viable. Consumers would regain some of these options that they've lost. And so, Sheila, that's where we're looking right now, is a bill that would go from taking that limit from 6 to 36. Is that what we're hoping to get passed here?
Yes, we want reprieve. Actually, we were looking at it would be amazing because that X-73 exempted a lot of properties. We're kind of really perplexed as to why a working farm can't be exempt if there is a hotel, motel, bed and breakfast are exempt, a campground is exempt, a vacation rental is exempt, property, private yards, parking lots, anywhere around a professional stadium is exempt. So, you know, quite easily, let's just exempt a working farm that offers seasonal, temporary, permitted private events that helps the farm diversify. So simple, one sentence, easily done. No taxpayer cost.
Hans, again, you've talked about allowing farms to diversify in different ways, and I would imagine that this has been a hot topic up in your part of the state as well.
Yeah, and it's because a lot of farms up in my neck of the woods have, you know, switched gears and aren't milking cows anymore and so forth. And I think the other thing that is important to remember in this is the historical aspect of it, which is to say a lot of these event barns are old bank barns. They're old barns that have, you know, that were built in the late 1800s, early 1900s. There's a lot of history there. And maintaining a barn like that costs money. And so it has to, you know, sort of be reinvented to make sure that there's enough income to keep a roof on that barn so it doesn't fall down and we have more urban blight than, you know, we already have. So that I just feel like there's anything that keeps these old barns standing and in good condition is something that would be good for the rural landscape for sure.
Gene, do you want to piggyback on that as far as the cost to upkeep?
Yeah, our barn had sat empty after we got rid of our dairy herd for about 10 years. And empty barn just does not hold up. So absolutely, how am I going to maintain that facility? I have so many other fixed costs that my insurance isn't changing because I'm only having 6 a year and many other things. So it's going to be difficult to come up with the extra cash. The volatility of our crops here on our farm, we have a great corn crop too. I heard you talking earlier, but quite a bit is down flat after the big storm last Saturday. So, or the Saturday before. So yeah, the money is gone and it's really difficult to think of ways to replace that.
Sheila, what's the easiest way that folks can show their support for this issue?
Well, really hook on to Pat's website here and click on the link for the quorum to send your voice directly to your representative and senator. Like I said, there were 698 letters sent so far. Join us. Let your voice be heard. Reach out to your elected official, whether it's your Republican senator or your Republican representative, and our Democratic senators and representatives. Really just reach out and talk to your neighbor. Let your consumers know that, hey, your brides and grooms, this is going to cost you a lot of extra money for future weddings. And not only that, it is going to impact the on-farm wedding industry overall. And, you know, Wisconsin has been a leader in agricultural tourism. We have been having on-farm weddings since before we were a state in 1848. This business model of private events on working farms has been operational for 41 years with no, absolutely none, documented issues or problems. And so why did this have to be changed? It didn't, other than somebody had an issue or spite.
And that's a dangerous precedent. I mean, they're starting now to control what you can drink based on where you are and who owns that place. I just look at it from that perspective. This is, to me, quite serious that they feel they should have the power to do that.
Mm-hmm. Jean Bonn has the Farm View Event Barn in Berlin, and Sheila Everhart is with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. Hans Breitenmoser, as always, joins us from up in Lincoln County, and we always get such a good education on all the many topics that can make for a stronger or a weaker rural economy, depending on which way our lawmakers want to go. Hans, Sheila, Jean, thank you all very much. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. All right. Well, we will pause here. And in our 8 o'clock hour, we will be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. He's also the political editor for Civic Media. And along with some of these political topics about what the legislature could be working on, we'll also talk about classroom bans on cell phones as we start a new school year. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And finally, for the last hour of the Civic Media Spotlight, we have the John and Gordy Show. John and Gordy talk with Barry Levinson, who's the National Mustard Museum curator, about what made him get into the mustard industry. They chat about Dijon mustard varieties and the weirdest mustard that has ever gone through that museum. They even get Barry to sing his signature mustard song.
WMDX 92.7. This is John Peterson, Gordy Young in the morning with Dom as our engineer.
Yeah. 752 highs today in the upper 60s. Beautiful sunshine out there right now. Low 50s. Let's talk to Barry Levinson. He's with the National Mustard Museum in Middleton. Find out what's happening there. Good morning, Barry. How you doing?
Good morning.
Hey, what's the latest on the National Mustard Museum? I know you had Mustard Day a few weeks back, and what's happening at the Mustard Museum these days?
There? Well, what's happening, we've got a new exhibit on Dijon mustard, and it's a gorgeous exhibit. Admission is free, so there's never admission to the Mustard Museum. So we want everyone to stand by and come visit the Mustard Museum.
Well, I love the Grey Poupon, mustard. And so,
that's a Dijon mustard.
Dijon.
And we've got several Dijon mustards, actual real Dijon mustards. And we also sing the Poupon You fight song.
you care to share
the lyrics that you could actually put on the air?
Oh, yeah. Are you ready?
Yes. Sure, go ahead. Yes. Sing it.
Okay. On our hot dogs, on our bratwurst, mustard is so cool. Never mayo, never ketchup, they're against the rules. Hey. Gleaming gold and mellow yellow, fight poop on you. Fight poop on you, we'll fight and eat some lunch.
Wow.
That
was fantastic, right, Barry.
Wow. Now, there are a bunch of different flavors for Dijon, isn't there?
Well, there are. There's regular Dijon mustard, which is invented in France and is very popular in France. But in terms of Dijon mustard, there's many different styles of Dijon mustard. And by the way, Dijon mustard does not have to be made in France.
Okay.
You could find Dijon mustard really all over the world. So
does it depend on, now they put white wine in it, is that right?
Not necessarily, because Dijon mustard is made from the brown seed or similar to the brown seed, and it does not have to have white wine.
Okay.
So that's a misconception.
All right.
Now, I've been to the Mustard Museum, and it's been a little while. It's been maybe a year or so I was there, and it's just unbelievable. How many do you have on display? How many mustards have you collected now?
In the collection, we have over 7,000 different mustards.
Wow.
It's mind-boggling, yeah.
Wow.
It is mind-boggling, and we've been collecting them since 1986.
Uh-huh. Okay, now,
so
you brought this up, 7,000 jars of mustard there. You have walls just lined with mustard.
Yeah.
I know that mustard does get old. What do you do about the aging mustard on the walls?
Well, we collect them.
Good answer.
All right.
Good answer.
Don't let, yeah. Now keep the jar and the label.
Now, every year there's a worldwide mustard competition, right? When does that happen?
Yes, there is. And we've been holding that since 1985.
Yes.
Or 1995. We invite mustard companies from all over the world. This year we had mustards from Japan, from India, really from all over the world. And they compete in 18 different categories.
Wow.
So mustard is not at all a one-dimensional condiment. So we've got Dijon mustard. We've got American yellow mustard. We've got Dijon mustard. We've got all kinds of mustards in categories. And then every year, there is a grand champion. In the past, we've had mustards from France that win the Grand Champion Award. We've had mustard from Argentina. This year, it was, mustard from Finland. Hmm. So mustard is universal.
Let me ask you a question here. What about Polish mustard? What makes that so different, so special?
Well, it's made in Poland, obviously.
Is that really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay.
There are Polish mustards that are made in Poland. It's interesting because you can find so-called Polish mustard made in the U.S. as well.
Yeah.
It's called Polish mustard. But the company that owns it also makes German mustard. And it's the same thing. It depends on where it's sold. If it's sold in German mustards, in German neighborhoods, it's called German mustard. If it's called Polish mustard, it's sold in Polish mustard, Polish neighborhoods.
I got to tell you, my wife is a big fan of Coop's Dusseldorf. She said it tastes just like the mustard in Germany.
Yeah. Okay.
It does, and there are great German mustards. And by the way, the word for mustard in Germany is Senf, and it makes no sense to me. But
okay, all right. Well, Barry, good to talk to you. For people that have never been to the National Mustard Museum, it's free admission, right?
Yeah.
And what are your hours?
It is. So please come to the museum. It's a non-profit.
Okay.
And it's separate from the gift shop, but everyone is welcome.
Yeah.
So come visit the Mustard Museum.
Very good, Barry.
Mustardmuseum.org.
Yep.
And it's in Middleton, Wisconsin.
Yep, 7477 Hubbard Avenue. All right, Barry, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah. And
just down the street from where I live.
That's it. Yeah, stop in and see John Peterson, too. Okay.
Wait a minute.
Thank you, Barry. Okay, that's going to do it for us. Tomorrow, Mike McCabe will join us.
And join us tonight.
Yes.
Still in it for Pete Schwabba.
Have a great day. So long.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.